How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics with the Rain and Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal. We're going to talk about the first day of training camp. Two practices today for the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving's first time in a Celtics uniform. Gordon Hayward's first time in a Celtics uniform. B-Rob and I got to see approximately 5 minutes of scrimmaging, so that essentially makes us experts on this year's Celtics team. We basically know the Celtics as well as they know each other. B-Rob, what were your takeaways, I guess, from Kyrie Irving's first time? I didn't think, like, nobody said anything interesting about Kyrie. I thought the most interesting thing was that Brad Stevens said he's got some things to learn, especially defensively, but we kind of knew that already.
Yeah, I definitely, that quote from Brad stuck out to me too, Jay, but yeah, there's no question that it's going to be an adjustment. In Cleveland, obviously in the regular season last year, there wasn't much defense being played, period. Kyrie Irving as a player really isn't known for his defense. It's a new scheme here. It's going to be a learning process, and you know, like any new player, whether it's a rookie or a veteran free agent, you're going to have to figure things out, and Kyrie's going to have to do that, and that's part of the equation. But as Brad said, he's a really good player, Jay. He's a really good player. So
yeah, that was an enlightening quote from Brad Stevens. What did you see from Kyrie today? Well, he's a good player. He's a really good player. Thanks, Brad. We appreciate all your insight. Just some genius words from Brad Stevens. But you know, another interesting thing, we finally learned what we suspected for a long time, which was that the Celtics did move training camp to Newport because of the Kyrie Irving trade and all the roster overhaul. And Brad Stevens decided we got to get these guys away from their families. We got to get these guys away from their homes. We have to force as much interaction on them as possible because there are only four exhibition games this year, shortened preseason. There's, you know, short training camp. They start the regular season now in like less than 3 weeks, or just about 3 weeks, they play LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that Brad Stevens pulled the old switcheroo at like last second. He told the equipment manager that they had to switch it up, go to Newport, Rhode Island, Soway, Regina. I kind of feel like Brad Stevens is freaking out a little bit, as much as Brad Stevens can, about the lack of familiarity that this team has. He said on media day that he spent a month with the coaches trying to like break down things and simplify them. And I guess that's what you have to do, but it's very clear that they're kind of bending over backwards to try to make things easier for their guys and try to make this adjustment as seamless as it can be, considering that most of the team is new and two of the two best players are new acquisitions. Most of the starters are going to be new. It's basically a whole new team.
Yeah, you think Danny just decided, hey, let's challenge Brad this offseason. Like, let's not only overhaul the roster, but, like, do it at the end of August as well, just to really make things, to really make, you know, we know Brad likes to prepare. Let's throw him on his heels a little bit, and let's pull off this blockbuster deal.
Yeah, let's throw him this curveball. Let's give him 3 weeks to figure out how to integrate Kyrie Irving into this whole thing.
Make him earn his money. No, it is, I mean, I like the fact that Brad's doing it. Obviously, this is a situation where, as you mentioned, it's a tough hand kind of for everyone involved. You got the shortened training camp. You have all the new guys in play here, 10 new faces, and the leftover guys are young players as well, obviously outside of, you know, Al Horford. And, yeah, I think this is a situation where, particularly with so many rookies as well, you want to, like, I think the bonding stuff is important in a situation like this. Like, guys do need to get comfortable with each other early here, and even if it's only 4 or 5 days away from home, which is, you know, we're only 9 minutes away from Boston here, it's still, you know, it still kind of creates that culture and gets a jump start on that. And again, we'll see how much it helps, but I don't think it can hurt.
Maybe my favorite part of today's interviews was when Marcus Smart came out and said, oh, yeah, Aaron Baines told me he would live on a boat. So Aaron Baines, he was swimming with sharks this summer. He would live on a boat, man. So would somebody buy Aaron Baines a boat so he can live on it?
Boat living. My brother lived on a boat. Or had some friends that lived on a boat that he stayed with for a few days overseas. Apparently, you know, a lot of people do it, and, you know, Baines is from Australia or New Zealand, and he's an interesting cat. I think Celtics fans are going to like him a lot. I had a nice chat with him earlier this summer about everything. And yeah, maybe this will be something they can work into a promotion for the Celtics this year.
Get
Baines a boat.
I feel like that was part of the feeling process. Like they were doing icebreakers in between practices, and Aaron Baines was like, hey, Marcus, remember the Titans when you had to learn like 5 things about the other person you were matched up with? And Aaron Baines is like, Marcus, I live on a boat, man. And Marcus is like, yeah, well, I eat Mediterranean food.
Right. No fried food for me, Aaron. But I'm going to use that fact. Yeah.
Yeah. The one interesting part of the scrimmage I thought we saw, and there wasn't much interesting we saw. We didn't get
a lot of stoppages, Jay. A lot of stoppages in that scrimmage.
They were just doing situational stuff. So I get it. Like, they were trying to simulate end of quarter, end of game stuff. But yeah, we didn't see too much. The one interesting thing I thought was that one of the lineups might have been like their second unit, which was Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Aaron Baines. And that was interesting to me for a couple of reasons. One, again, like, that might be their second unit. That might have been a glimpse that we saw, the first glimpse that we saw at who Brad Stevens thinks will be his normal bench unit. Two, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, whichever one it was, one of those guys was playing the four. And we saw it last year, like, Jaylen Brown rarely played the four. They tried it a lot in the preseason. They realized, like, their defense probably wasn't going to hold up with him at that position. But then today they played Brown and Tatum at the 3 and 4. And Stevens, when asked about it, was like, oh, I didn't even realize Tatum was in the front court. We just had one rolling big man and then 4 guys around him. And it's like, is that all it is now? It's like you have one center and just 4 dudes. but it kind of is. And so I'm interested to see how much those guys can actually play power forward and the defense, how the defense will hold up. But I think that's – today was a sign, and maybe it's not. Maybe it was just whoever was on the court. But it seemed like it was probably guys who were going to play against guys who may not play or will have an uphill battle for playing time. And that might have been our first glimpse at the unit. And that's kind of a fun bench, man.
It is. It is really – I mean, the good thing about that if that is going to be the second unit, Baines is defensively, I feel like, underrated. And he's a smart defender. He's not really a rim protector, but he's positionally, he's a veteran and is going to know where to be once he picks up the system. So that should help, whether it's Tatum or Brown, whoever does take the four in that kind of a lineup, that hopefully hope to cover up some of those mistakes. I do like the fact, you know, at least Tatum, you're going to have a defensive rebounding standpoint covered there. He impressed me in summer league, just how his rebounding kind of translated over from college in that front. So him and Baines,
he's
together,
got a great knack for rebounding. Like,
yeah.
And especially after watching the Celtics for a year, it was like, oh man, like the guy actually knows how to get the ball.
Right. Haven't had too many of those guys here lately. It's a fresh change from, you know, Kelly Olynyk did many things well, but you know, rebounding, in the trenches was not one of them when he faced some tough opposition there. So, that's going to be, it's like you said, it's a fun lineup, Jay. A lot of youth there. And it's, again, we haven't even mentioned any, there's bench rookies with, you know, Yabusele, Ojale, you know, Tice, none of those guys, I feel like there's a potential for one of those guys to get some, you know, spot minutes. None of those guys is probably going to work their way in the rotation with a good camp, but if one of them steps out and, you know, shows something, then he could, again, depending on what happens with Marcus Morris here, from a, you know, off the court standpoint, there could be, you know, an opportunity there with, if he's out for a little bit or if, you know, an injury crops up. But just that, those five guys alone, it's a fun group.
It's such a young group, man. It's like, and it could be a super athletic group. Like,
yeah,
a lot of bench units, like they're just not that athletic compared to like Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum at the four is an athlete. And if Marcus Smart is a new man like he says he is, he's kind of fast at the one or two. And Terry Rozier, obviously very athletic, very fast. Like that could be a super fast second unit. It could be a switch everything type of second unit. It's a second unit where the guards are good rebounders. And Tatum, I think he'll be a good rebounder. Baines is definitely a good rebounder. So kind of interesting. I don't know, like, where does the shooting come from? I have no idea. But they could get out and transition a lot. Marcus Smart said that one thing Brad Stevens is stressing is, like, whoever gets a rebound, just go. And I feel like they have more guys that can do that this year. Like, Jay Crowder wasn't a guy you wanted to really spark the break last year. Avery Bradley probably wasn't a guy you wanted to spark the break a lot.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, but now it's like Gordon Hayward, yes. Kyrie Irving, obviously. Al Horford, yes, please. I think Jaylen Brown gets out of control at times, but he's like super speedy and can make things happen. Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, like there are a lot of guys on the team that can grab a rebound and go. And I don't know how rare that is, but it's intriguing that they're trying to push like that. And I think Horford kind of makes them different in that way a bit, because for a big man, he's kind of like a very rare handler in the fact that he can actually dribble the basketball and lead the break, make good plays and just kind of get it and go sometimes. And not only that, but they give him the ability to do that they trust in him to do that. So I think they're going to try to play really fast this year, like really, really fast, even faster than they've played the past couple of years.
No, I mean, that's again, when Brad Stevens talked to us this summer, Jay, that was one of the things he emphasized. Like they didn't last year. You know, they were obviously incredibly reliant on Isaiah Thomas, but they were incredibly reliant in just scoring in the half court. Yeah. They didn't get out much, whether it was, you know, the fact that Smart was a bit overweight, you know, or guys like Crowder, Bradley, as you mentioned, they can get out in transition, but I wouldn't necessarily call them like, you know, speedsters or super athletic just with the ball in their hands. And so you have that, and you, again, Horford, I don't think there's few big guys, Jay, there's a lot of confidence. He's going to make the right play with the ball in his hands, even when it's on the break. And like, there's just not a lot of guys around the league that can do that. And this year, when he has some real weapons around them with the first unit, it's going to be really fun to watch. And then I think honestly, for that second unit, for that group we talked about earlier, they're going to have to get in transition to score, because I'm not sure, you know, outside of Tatum, I don't see a lot of shot creation in that lineup in the half court. And
I don't know if you've heard that Marcus Smart catches alley-oops now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, yes.
And Tomahawk dunks on people's heads, and Frederick Weiss's people routinely. So,
of course. I mean, my mistake. So that's to Marcus in the post
but,
and off alley-oops.
But for real, like 2 years ago, they were great in transition. That was basically like how they scored a lot of their points. And then last year, that all went away. And it's kind of hard to explain. Like, they stopped forcing turnovers at the rate that they were. 2 years ago, they were like one of the best ever for a portion of the season before trailing off in that category later on. So I'm just really interested to see what type of identity this team takes. And I think they're trying to forge defense first, because they think that could be easier to kind of come together on that end versus offense, where a lot of it is how much can I trust you? How much do we know collectively about each other? If I'm here, this guy needs to be here, but maybe he doesn't know that because I just met him 2 weeks ago and I just learned that he wants to live on a boat, or would consider living on a boat. But yeah, the whole identity of this team is interesting. I think from the standpoint of getting out of the break, that could be huge for them, especially early on while they figure things out. Like, to get easy points will be huge. And I think Gordon Hayward he's a big difference maker in that way. I think a lot of people are overlooking how good he is because the Celtics traded for Kyrie Irving, and because so much change has happened that Gordon Hayward kind of fell into this role of being the overlooked guy again. And it's like, that dude is really, really freaking good. And I think in Boston's system, he'll be better than he ever was in Utah. Like, I think he's due for a career season. I think he's going to be an absolute monster. I think he'll absolutely be an Eastern Conference All-Star. I think there's a chance he averages like 24 or 25 points on really good efficiency. Like, he's a monster, and nobody's really talked about it, but I think he transforms them in a lot of ways. And this team could be really fun in transition. Like, they just have a lot of athletes now and a lot of guys who are skilled. And they have more skilled players, I think, like, from the standpoint of being dynamic with the ball. And we've talked about how it could be like an issue that a lot of guys like to isolate. A lot more guys like to isolate. A lot more guys like to have the ball in their hands. And maybe that's an issue because you don't have as many like dedicated role players as you had last year. But from a transition standpoint, that helps, because all of a sudden you've got more guys who can dribble the ball, more guys who can create things. So I'm excited to see this team in transition, man. I think this team could be really different than it was last year. And obviously that was probably like the least bold claim ever made. Like,
this, wait a sec, Jay, hold on. Wait, back it up.
This team that only has four guys back might be a little different this year.
I don't believe it. That, I think you're out of the field with that one.
That's why you come to Locked On Celtics, guys. Right,
this is the best in the business here. This is Locked On analysis from Jay. No, but I mean, you're bigger. To go back to Gordon, though, it's crazy how him joining the Celtics has become maybe like the number 10 or number 15 story this offseason now. Even with just the Irving deal here, obviously it's kind of been put on the back burner, but just all of the movement around the NBA in the last 3 months has really, like, you know, it was a big move. It's a big deal, but you're right. Like, people aren't talking about him as much. People aren't talking about the fact that, you know, what in Utah, what was the best offensive player he played with in Utah over the years? Like, Joe Johnson, Rodney Hood. Like, I mean, he played with what, Millsap was there a couple of years, but clearly no one on the level of a Irving or a Hayward or a Horford, excuse me, on offensively. And just, I feel like playing with guys like that for him should just open up a lot of doors, because he can do it all. He can shoot, he can create, and he'll be able to do both here.
And I think in a lot of ways, Hayward and Horford being the way that they are, And by that I mean, like, those are two guys who can do a little bit of everything, and two guys who don't need the ball, two guys who are kind of cool with being overlooked. Like, at Media Day, even Hayward was talking about how he's been overlooked, and that's cool. He doesn't mind it. Like, he's okay with it. He's kind of been that way. It was funny because all the Celtics last year, like, they had been overlooked, and they carried as a chip. And it was, like, fueling factor. And Hayward was like, yeah, I've been overlooked, but, like, I still think I have room to grow. it's like, where is your anger? You have beautiful hair, but where is the chip on your shoulder?
He's learning from Brad. He just follows the Brad Stevens mantra of just cool, calm, collected.
Yeah,
but doesn't let anything get to him, apparently.
But I think their willingness to take a back seat could really help Kyrie. Because those guys, they're kind of like just great complimentary stars, and we thought that would make them be really good with Isaiah Thomas, and now I think it'll make Kyrie Irving's adjustment a lot easier, because those guys seem like two of the easiest stars to play with that you can find in the entire NBA, because they can both do a little bit of everything, and they don't mind not having the spotlight on them.
No, I don't know if you could find a better spot for Kyrie in the NBA right now from, like, where he was at from that perspective.
He really did get lucky, didn't he?
He got so lucky. I mean, like, what team is tailor-made for you where it's already a 50-plus win team with, like, a genius coach and a great, like, fan base and just already has two stars in place for you, and then it just needs the team that wants you to take over, to take the keys and be the option number one on the offense, like, kind of just ready made. It would be hard to find another one in history, like, a trade like this set up as well for a guy as this, looking like it's going to set up for Kyrie here.
Yeah, like, he asked to get traded from LeBron James's team and landed in a situation that was just like, perfect. Like, that could have gone poorly, man. Like, he could have gone anywhere. And he went to Boston, where everything is tailor-made for him to have success. Well, at the same time, if he doesn't have success...
Pressure's on.
It's on him, man. It's all on him. That's it.
That's it.
He's got no excuses.
Nope.
Zero.
But I do think, with that said, he is... I don't expect him to, like, the situation is made for him to succeed for a reason, and I expect him to do that. I expect, for as good as he was at times in Cleveland, I expect Stevens and this coaching staff to kind of put him in the spots where he can just, you know, get more out of himself on, at least on a regular season basis. I'm not sure if he can, like, maximize himself on the offensive end much more in the postseason based on what we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to average, like, 50 against the Warriors in the finals to beat what he's done some of the last couple of years. Okay, what do you think Kyrie is going to average this year?
Let's go...
By the way, that's the dumbest question I'll ever ask.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Like, your answer is meaningless. It's just a guess. Like,
oh, come on. We can make a bet about this. We'll make a gentleman's bet to keep it interesting. I'll say 26 a game.
26?
26, yeah. I'm not going to – I think he's going to – I don't know. What did he have last year, 25?
25.2.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll say 26. I think there is – I could obviously see it getting higher, but I don't think he's going to overdo it. I think he's going to get his and do it efficiently. And I think sharing – you know, there's going to be a lot of guys in the lineup that are – I think you're going to have – at least five guys on this team averaging double digits a game. Because I think Marcus Morris is going to want some points. I think Smart's going to be scoring a bunch. And then, you know.
Ooh, Smart's going to be scoring a bunch.
Not a bunch, but, like, if he starts, he's going to.
Are you all in on the new Smart?
No, I'm not all. I mean, I think this is. I want to see. I mean, I'm all in on, like, he looks great. The body, you know, the weight loss looks good on him. But the jump shots still have to fall, Jay. And I think that is unrelated to the weight loss. And I think in order for him to score, you know, to hit the double-digit marks and points, and if he does start, he's going to have to start reining in the threes a little bit and hopefully taken more of them from the corner, but he should get those if he's playing with the likes of Irving and Hayward.
Yeah. If he could just draw some free throws, get some layups.
Yeah.
It would help him so much, and it would help that young, athletic, energetic second unit so much. Let's just end it here, B-Rob. It's a little after midnight. We're out here in Newport, Rhode Island, waiting for training camp day two.
I'm impressed we got 25 minutes out of day one here, Jay, based on what we said. But
that's just what we do, man. This isn't the Big Three podcast. We don't.
Oh, I mean, if it's a Big Three podcast, we'd get 40, 45 minutes out of it.
Yeah, once a week, bro. Sick.
Hey, man, we quality over. I mean, ooh, quantity here.
Ooh.
No.
Ooh. Ooh. Nobody should listen. Nobody should ever listen to the Big Three podcast. No. Everyone
except
go.
Except for Sam Packard.
Go listen to B-Rob on the Big Three podcast. Yeah, Sam tweeted about you guys. I was kind of
let him back on here after that.
I almost fired him. That, as Trump said, that son of a bitch should have been fired. But yeah, we got some beef with the Big Three podcast. No, but everybody should go listen to the Big Three podcast once a week. Otherwise, five nights a week, you can come listen to the Lockdown Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe to us, search for us on iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify. We are one of the chosen ones on Spotify. Is the Big Three podcast on Spotify?
No, we haven't gone there yet.
I didn't think so, sucker.
Jay, have you subscribed to the Boston Sports Journal yet, Jay?
You're goddamn right, I did.
Attaboy. Yep. We appreciate it, Jay.
Boston Sports Journal. Everyone else should subscribe. Read B-Rob's stuff. Read Greg Bedard's stuff. Chris Price's stuff. Sean McAdam's stuff. Go subscribe. Support local journalism. Support the scribes.
It's a lot of good. It's good to read more, and we appreciate it. There's a lot of good C stuff out there, and everyone should keep reading. Keep reading Jay. Keep reading John Corrales at Red's Army, and then hopefully you can check us out at BSJ too.
There you go. BSJ. Follow B-Rob. What is it now? Brian T. Rob?
Yeah. Twitter? Brian T. Rob.
I got it right. Formerly Celtics Hub. RIP Celtics Hub. For you. It lives on in Danger Cart.
It does.
But, yeah.
We had to take a throw.
We appreciate you coming on, B-Rob. We'll have to check in with you later in the season. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah. Jay King and John Corrales. Locked On Celtics. Millie's.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.